Our world is changing beyond recognition, before our own very eyes. So are you ready to claim your place? Ride the waves and do your best to turn your feelings into positive actions? Stay tuned for thought-provoking conversation with my dear friend, Dr. David Kenneth Waldman, the founder and president of Rebecca House International Publishing Company and To Love Children Organization.
Welcome to the Your Life Now Show, where your life and your business matter. Your host is a certified executive coach and trainer with the passion to help make the difference in the world. Your Life Now Show brings you powerful resources and effective tips to help you manage your life and your business at its best. And now, here's your host, Coach Rhea.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Your Life Now Show, where your life and your business matter. I am your host and executive producer, Rhea Wolke, also known as Coach Rhea. So welcome to the show. As always, we like to start our show with setting our intention. My intention, the intention of having this show, is to inspire transformation. I'd like to inspire you to make some positive changes in your life and in your business so you can live the fulfilled life that you desire. Here on the show, we always really share some really helpful tips and information how to achieve optimum of everything, right? So it is really up to you to use whatever information we provide here on the show, but our intention, my intention, is really to inspire you to make some positive changes in your life so you can live the life that you desire. If you'd like to know more about us and how we can be of service to you or to your business, please make sure you contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can always go to our website at yourlifenow.info and send us a request, send us a comment, you know, our email address will be there. So make sure you contact us and let us know how we could be of service to you. Your Life Now LLC, it's a professional executive coaching training. We do a lot of public speaking, teaching in sales and marketing, and then also in PR. We would love to be of service to you. So again, for more detail, visit our website at www.yourlifenow.info. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what just had happened with the election and all the mixed feelings about the future. And will be joining me in this conversation, my dear friend, Dr. David Kenneth Waldman, the founder and president of Rebecca House International Publishing Company and To Love Children Organization. David has been recognized as a creative problem solver and manager, expert in public policy, gender justice, and educational development for girls in the developing world. It's an honor for me to have him join us and share his positive perspective on what we should be doing going forward to assure, you know, that we are still standing for what we believe, but taking action and turning our feelings into positive action. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. Thank you for being here.
Your Life Now Radio Show with Coach Rhea will return in just a few moments.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Life Now Show. I am your host, Rhea Wolke, also known as Coach Rhea, and executive producer of Your Life Now Show. So welcome. It's been a crazy ride this past couple of days. And of course, if you live in the U.S. or even if you live international in somewhere else, I'm sure you know what's going on here in the U.S. with the election result. There's a lot of mixed feeling. Some of us are in disbelief of the outcome of the election. I'm actually personally glad it is over, but I also had a lot of mixed feelings yesterday. I'm still feeling it, but I'm really trying to change, you know, those feelings and really put some plans into action. And as we always do here on the show, we try to inspire a change, and we also inspire you guys to live consciously, to learn how to adapt to those changes and move forward. And let me tell you, it's very unexpected as a woman here and what I believe. And I've never really took side as far as, you know, my political point of view. And this show is really not intended to be a political show, but it's really more about, you know, the after fact and how we can deal with the after fact in a positive way. And of course, social media right now is to me, it's like a frightened place to visit, because there is so many conflicted emotions. There's so many different point of views, and I call them point of views because that's what it is. You know, there's a lot of positive feedback, and I can literally just read tons of them and have a whole show just reading a lot of positive, you know, feedback and outlook on what, you know, what could happen, even without like taking any side, you know, either way. And not taking any side, I'd like you to help me welcome my dear friend, Dr. David Kenneth Waldman, to the show. David, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And it's an important discussion that I think we need to have as Americans. And I look forward to having one today.
I'm glad you're here. And, you know, I wanted to put out this information also for those who are interested in joining this conversation. Of course, if you do have a positive feedback or positive comment to share, or you have a question for myself or Dr. David Kenneth Waldman, we'd love to hear from you. And you can contact us right now live on the air at 626-213-5773. I also have the chat room open. So if you do have the link, of course, if it's shared on social media, whether you follow me or follow Dr. David Kenneth Waldman, you'll know you have the link. From that link, you can see the chat room, and you'll be able to also put there your comment, your questions, if you wish. So, David, wow, right?
Yep.
Wow. You know, yesterday you and I, we were talking, and you know I cried, right?
Yes.
You know, it was really interesting, because I wasn't sure why I was crying, right? Was I crying because one candidate had lost and the other person had won? I found out later on that was not really the case. It was not about who won or who lost. I felt like some of my values, some of my beliefs, some of the things that I stand for had been put to the test as a result of this. So I'm going to try not to get emotional again. But, you know, this show is supposed to be positive. So I'm going to continue to stay, hold my head high, and, you know, recognize that it's not personal. And I think if we all take the labels all away, we all alike. So, David, tell me how you felt and what you, you know, what do you think?
Well, first of all, in staying positive, there's no other option. If you don't stay positive, action towards the negative is going to just create despair. So, if I may, let me take a minute or two to put this political event into perspective, that you noted that the world is changing beyond recognition, and for a lot of people on both sides, on the side of the people that voted for Hillary Clinton, their world turned upside down, knowing that the fear and anger of moving towards a conservative America. And on the Donald Trump side, the president-elect side and his followers, there's millions and millions of people that saw their world change beyond recognition with LGBT rights and rights with women in the army and a multicultural looking demographic in America. The world has changed to a very liberal slant, and the facts are in America that the world has change in America towards a lot more liberal view. People are in favor of the woman right to choose and LGBT rights and marriage equality rights and more civil rights. And so you have a divided country where one half of the nation, and these are generalizations because it's not all of one and all of the other. There's people that cross both sides. And on either side, people feel a shattering, an earthquake. Some are celebrating, some are crying. So if I may, let me put this into perspective.
Okay, please go ahead.
And putting this into perspective in a historical context, because I always turn to history as a way of understanding what's happening today. So when my mom and dad were born, 1909 for my father and 1912 for my mother, was just a few short years into the 20th century. And the technology then and the politics then was so different than it was when they got married in 1939 all the way through to the end of their life. My father made it to 75, and my mother lived until 1994. So in their lifetime, they saw touch-tone phones, and they saw fax machines, and they saw flying across the country and the world in jet planes, and they saw men walk on the moon. And so the people that they related to in growing up through the Depression to the world that they saw change was beyond recognition. And I always wondered as a child, how did they navigate that? And then I looked back at my own life, being born in 1952, and I lived through the Korean War, because when I was born, it was going towards an end, and the Cold War. And in 1962, President Kennedy, when I was 10 years old, said, we may have a nuclear war against Cuba and the USSR. And the Cuban Missile Crisis and the Berlin Wall. And so my world from 1952 to what the millennials see with the iPhones and touch phones and their world of music is, and the way they look at the world, then my baby boomer generation is completely different. Though change happens not radically, but happens over time. And so my thesis is that this didn't happen yesterday. There was an election on Tuesday, and the forces that were working happened over a period of decades. And I'd also want to take another minute, if I can, because I want to open this up to a conversation and a discussion. I want to just add one more point, if I may. If we look at, oh my goodness, the world is coming to an end. Well, in American history, let me just give a few examples where people said, oh my goodness, the world has ended. When President Lincoln was elected, states seceded, and we went into a civil war for 4 years. In 1856, on May the 22nd, Representative in the House of Representatives, Representative Preston Brooke, a Democrat from South Carolina, attacked Senator Charles Sumner, a Republican from Massachusetts, with a walking cane, causing injury on the floor of the Senate. Demagogues, we've had those, Joe McCarthy and the fight against calling people anti-American and communist. Father Charles Edward Goughlin had 30 million listeners, and he was for FDR, but then turned into a harsh critic against FDR and divided the country. And my last favorite example is that we had Aaron Burr, a sitting vice president, had a duel with Alexander Hamilton, of Broadway fame, who was the former Secretary of the United States. They had a duel, and Aaron Burr killed Alexander Hamilton in that duel. So politics have been rougher, for sure, in the past. And the good news, the confidence in that America has gone through this throughout our entire history. It's part of our DNA. We're still a very, very young nation. I've stayed in inns with rooms in Holland and in mm-hmm. England in pubs that are hundreds of years older than America. So we're still a young nation finding our way with this American experiment of democracy. And it's been said before, yes, it gets messy. Yes, it was a game changer for half of the country, and half the country, the change also happened, and we still don't know what the results are. But what we do know is what we can do
exactly
today to make a difference for each other.
Absolutely. Very well said. I couldn't say it any better. And yes, you are correct. I mean, a lot of people, I've seen people posting this, even celebrity and other, you know, different places on social media and blogs and everything, saying if the Trump wins, it's the end of the world. Well, that is very extreme. And I can tell you the world's not going to end anytime soon, you know, and it is our responsibility to continue to grow, to achieve and to inspire, to educate and to build, to help make the world a better place. I'm like yourself. I'm actually, your parents were the immigrant, but I am an American immigrant. And I can tell you, you know, I was just in Europe about a month ago. And I never get bored of the history, right? So yes, I think we have a great future if we really think about, you know, the fact that this is a young, still young country, and there is a lot of potential, and there is a lot of things we can do. When you look at places like you said, you know, you've been to Holland, you've been in a little inn. I've been to places I couldn't believe how much history there was in, and I'm sure these people had endured a lot more than what we did to get to where they are. But that's, you know, I mean, sometimes when we get hit with like big change, like this is a big, big, big change for most of us, right? And
right.
I know it's hard to kind of most people resist change. That's the fact first. I mean, I've been in human, you know, development and the business of, you know, motivating and speaking to a lot of people about, you know, how to adapt to change and how you can actually, you know, be better, you know, if you learn the steps that you can take to overcome some of that change to make it, you know, suited for you and the people around you. But when we like, you know, we had a lot of expectation, and I believe a lot of us have had a different, you know, point of view, right? People had, you know, whether they are Republican or Democrat. I mean, I'm very neutral. It's all about doing the right thing. And of course, there's no such a thing, you know, most of the time in politics, right? So there is always, you know, weighing what's good and what's not good. And that's how I made my decision as far as who I chose to, you know, vote for. So my disappointment is because I felt the things that are value to me, the things that I believe are strongly value to me are at stake, right? You know, being an American immigrant, being a woman, being, you know, feeling like, you know, that people having like start to have like a short, you know, they're not patient toward each other. I don't know if you had noticed that before the election, actually, before, you know, before the result. Right. That people were like almost feeding on some of the negativity, you know, that Donald Trump was putting out there on the media. I mean, he used the media. He's very smart about using the media to get himself elected. So I want to congratulate him on achieving what he wanted. So no doubt about that. But doesn't mean like I agree with, you know, what he said. And I many times I felt insulted as an American citizen and as a woman for all the things that was said. But, like, you know, you and I, we also talked about it, and you mentioned it in the beginning. Maybe he just needed to do that, right? And his action's going to be different, and we're hoping his action's going to be different. But I think what we can control at this point is what we do as an individual going forward. So this is where it all starts, with us. So, you know, I mean, I think, you know, we need to continue doing all what we're doing the best. We need to support our causes. We need to really understand what were value to us and why are they value to us and what can we do moving forward. I think, you know, being negative and expressing, you know, your frustration, it's normal, you know, at this point right now, because this is a huge ordeal for a lot of people. And again, I really believe that people were doing these things. They thought they were divided because they loved the country and they had their own reasoning why they wanted, you know, one person versus the other. But I think what we really need to focus on, right? We need to focus on what is really important. What's important at this point right now?
Right, exactly. And so let's take the conversation off of the election, because it's not relevant to the reality of each of us, no matter what side that we're on. The politics, as I mentioned before, with a duel between a sitting vice president and a former secretary of Treasury. So we've been there and we've gone through all those changes. That's not that just didn't happen overnight. And so it's important, in order to stay positive, and as you were saying, to focus on what you believe in. Less than half of Americans voted on Tuesday. And so
that's not
tells
good.
A story. In America, you know, less than 50% voted. So how involved are people? A lot of people just don't care, don't think it matters. So for those of you that think it matters, well, then let's shift the focus off of a single election and what may or may not happen. And there will be consequences. Roe versus Wade will be under threat. The Affordable Care Act will be under threat. Climate change treaty, the Paris Treaty, climate change will be under threat. And our involvement in the UN will be under threat. And NATO and all these possibilities are real. But you have Democrats that will be in Congress, and they'll do what they can to block and to filibuster. So there's going to be bad stuff that goes forward. And all the millions and millions of people that voted for Mr. Trump, they're calling them the Reagan Democrats. When he does not deliver and he takes away their health care and he does all these things, in 4 years, he's going to lose everything that he won, and it won't be more than a one-term president. So things will shift back. But the most important thing is, why isn't anybody talking about the Dakota pipeline? Why isn't anybody talking about 33,000 children every single day die of preventable causes? What happened to the millions of children in America that go to bed hungry, of food insecure households, going to school so they can have one meal because the government's paying for it? Why aren't we talking about those things? Why aren't we talking about women's rights and women's access to health, and talking about the solution? So when I teach at the universities that I teach at, the University of Roehampton, London, and Colorado State University Global, and Phoenix University and UCLA Extension. Each of those universities will be happy that I mentioned them on air. They give me an opportunity to interact with students, and when they talk about our paper on abortion or gun rights or whatever the issue, and they say all these problems, whatever side they're on, I write back, what's the solution? Okay, so you have the problem. Now, what's the solution? Would you go to the doctor and say, okay, these are my problems, and the doctor says, I agree with you. Those are really bad problems. You want the doctor to have a solution. When that light comes on, bing, when you're flying and the pilot or the flight attendant says, the pilot put on the fasten your seatbelt sign, we're going through some turbulent times. Do you want the pilot and co-pilot says, oh, you know, I don't know what to do here. What are we going to do? You put on your seatbelt and you ride it through. And America has put on their seatbelt for its entire 240 years and to find solutions. We need to shift the conversation And when in my lifetime, because I can only speak for myself, and now I'm a political junkie, so maybe that's not accurate, but the majority of people don't pay attention to politics day to day, don't even know who their mayor is, or you go to a college campus and, because this was done, and I watched this on a YouTube, a young reporter went out on college campuses, and asked, mm-hmm. who's our vice president? They couldn't say Joe Biden. So,
yeah. That's sad.
You know,
I mean, actually, that's very sad.
Right. So Americans, are entitled to be angry on both sides, are entitled to be upset. But now what are we going to do to make a difference?
Going forward. Going forward. But you know what you said, and honestly, I think this blowed my mind, that because I didn't know that number, that when you said below 50% of the American had voted, that blows my mind. I actually did a special show, just a special message show to encourage people to vote. I've been trying to encourage people to vote. My mother, who's 78 years old, she was upset. She lives in a retirement center in Florida. She was upset that she didn't get to go vote. This is a 78-year-old woman, right? That she wanted her voice to be heard. And this is, people don't realize how much power their voice has. But when you give your right, when you give your voice, I feel it's a shame on us to complain, but we're not gonna judge everybody right now. But I mean, that's really upsetting to me that we really did not come through and stand for what is our right and what our values, and go out there and have our voice heard.
So let me address that.
Okay.
Let me address that if I may, because our values on both sides, conservative or liberal or independent, hasn't changed. And for full disclosure, I'm a liberal Democrat, because I think that's fair to say, so people know my bias and how the lens that I see through. But I try professionally to put that aside and to remain objective. So because maybe it's teaching elementary children and now teaching at the university level. So when I hear an absolute like, oh my goodness, America voted for Trump, and how could Americans vote for Trump, and how dumb and stupid they are. Hello, what? 220,000 people, the popular vote, more people voted for Hillary Clinton. And so America didn't vote for Trump. America, the majority, wanted Hillary, and it's our electoral college. That could be another conversation, another radio show, is because Gore had the popular vote and lost the presidency. So that's a legitimate conversation. But we need to be careful, and when we think creatively and critically and be fair-minded and looking at the facts, you can't say, it's impossible to say in a credible voice that, how could America vote for Trump? America didn't as a majority, but he's the president. And let me just give a metaphor. I like to give metaphor as his way of like putting things in perspective, and I do that when I teach, and I do that for myself. And I was raised through the 50s, we had an alarm go off, a bell go off, and we were told that we needed to duck and cover. So we had to duck under our desks to protect us in case there was a nuclear war. That would be safer if we went into the hallway, ducked under our desk. How insane was that? So I don't think we need to duck and cover. The world is a lot safer, and there are too many checks on power. That's what the Founding Fathers did. They were so argumentative, and states like Virginia said, what? Why would you have the same amount of representation in government? You're Rhode Island, Delaware. You don't have any population. Why should you have equal? So they came up with a compromise, and they said, okay, let's say two senators from every state, so that's equal, and then the House of Representatives will be allotted according to population. So this way, it's a compromise. We don't want to have another king. We just got rid of a king. Okay, then we'll have a president, and he'll have a term of no more than 4 years, and if reelected, another 4 years. FDR was the exception, and then they passed an amendment, so only two terms. And if the president gets too much power, you have Congress. If Congress and the president get it wrong, you have the Supreme Court to rule on,
so
on constitutional or not. And then the biggest, most important check of all, and this was borne out by the recent election, you have the people. You know, James Madison feared having a majority because it would get too one-sided and they would trample over minority rights. But you have social media, which puts us in bubbles, but you have social media so we can communicate and create grassroots and to be able to help our neighbors. So I think that it's legitimate. I'm still reeling. My head is spinning a little bit of this change. No one likes change. Do you know, Rhea, the three most stressful acts that a person goes through is the death of a loved one, moving, getting married, I'll add graduating, all those things, even if it's for good,
it's
a big change. People don't like change.
Right. Nobody does. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I mean, that's human, you know, nature. They resist change. And I think most of us have a hard time finding a path of least resistance. Because we resist, we make more mistakes. And I think a lot of time, because we're not conscious of our actions and our decision, we realize that when we face with change, we don't know what to do, right? Some people, you know, you heard people like when they get married, you said one of the things, whether it's death or getting married or, you know, whatever, some of these big changes that happens in our lifetime, you know, some people have like what they call cold feet, right? Why they have cold feet? Because they don't know if they can handle change. And this is huge in our nation. It's very huge. It's, you know, because I think that the whole thing for me, I always say this, but honestly, I tuned off all the external messages from the media. Okay, this is a part of a media, but this is a positive media. I call it, you know, I refuse to share anything but positive on the show, because if I want to hear something negative, all I have to do is just turn one of those channels and I can hear everything that can make me feel like crap, right? But it's very clear what I'm passionate about here is really just to share these positive, you know, emotions, positive feelings about how we can go move forward. But it is, I honestly know you guys are listening. I see a lot of people in the switchboard, but if you do want to join us, make sure you hit one if you want to call to chat with us. But thank you for being there. But honestly, if you just think about it, if you can just simplify it to the point to come to you as an individual and look at yourself, look what you're standing, and look ahead. And then think about what is it that you wanted to see. And start those steps. Because, I mean, what happened when we misstep? We fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think we really need to simplify into the fact it is what it is right now. And I think that we can change it unless some miracle. I don't know. I don't even want to,
well,
you know.
Let's talk about the silver lining, okay?
Right.
Because I agree with you. It is what it is. Life happens. And life has always happened, and it's how we deal with life, and how much we give back and how much we love and repair the world and give to others, and look out for the poor and the disenfranchised. That's the measure, because there'll always be tragedies and difficulties and changes, like this change in our politics. But what's the silver lining? Well, I'm a storyteller. I also write children's books, and I mentioned that I was from New York. I'm a liberal Democrat from New York, so we like to talk. When I'm teaching and I have a student that's not engaged, there's a lot of Americans that were not engaged on both sides in the political process at all. Like the 45% of Americans that voted and the majority that didn't. Okay, so how do I get an adult student in an online class? I'm getting their degree. How do I get their attention? I give them a zero. No, I give them the grace period, and then I put a zero in, and when they're so concerned with their grades, they see that zero, and all of a sudden I get an email or a phone call, and, oh, my God, and they panic, and I calm them down, and I'm saying, all I wanted to do was I got your attention. Well, you got my attention, Dr. Waldman. I said, okay, now let's come up with a learning plan, and you can turn in your paper late. I won't penalize you. I'm here to support your learning. This election got a lot of people's attention. That's the silver lining. There's going to be more young people, more middle age, and more old people on both sides and in the middle of the political spectrum. There's going to be people all over the world that are afraid and concerned. We got the attention of many different populations. And in here in America, and if you're concerned and if you want to find a positive way forward, so what are you going to do to volunteer? What are you going to do to be kinder to your children, to be more positive, read a book to your child, hug a stranger, do random acts of kindness? You can't do this anymore going through a toll booth because it's automatic. But I used to drive over the Golden Gate Bridge and tell the person who took your money back in the old days, and I said, I'm paying for the car behind me. And as I drive off and I see the man in the toll booth, says, you know, I see him motioning, oh, no, you see that guy in the car? He paid for you, and he waves that car on. And I look at my rearview mirror, and I look at the face of that driver going, wow, like whatever kind of day I was having, that changed my day. And I've done that my entire life. A simple, you know what, you must be stressed behind that counter with people yelling flights are canceled. I know, I've been there. Thank you for what you're doing. Like, what can I do to make this easier for you? Oh, yeah, you're so right, and thank you for noticing and seeing me. And I go, yep, you know, it's like people are difficult, aren't they? And she or he would laugh. And all of a sudden, I look at my boarding pass, and I've been upgraded because acts of kindness, what goes out comes in. So we need to put a lot more out with no expectations, and our world will change. And this is, as my Jewish mother would say, nish kasela, not so terrible. You know what's really terrible is the tornadoes and the fires and the earthquakes and the floods, where people lose everything, and sometimes a family member. And you look on the news after an earthquake or a hurricane, and you look that everything is flattened. It's gone. All the memories, all the photographs, it's all gone. How do those people, and I wonder, how do those people pick up and move on? When I travel to developing countries into war zones, children with no shoes and only one shirt and pants, and yet they're clean and they have very little to nothing, yet they're singing and smiling and positive. How can they have that when they have so much to complain about? They get on with life. And just finally, to wrap up this little story, I would have people that have become friends over the years when I go to Uganda. One friend who's like a brother to me would say, oh, you Americans, you always worry about money. Money this, money about that. He goes like, seriously? You're worried about money? Like, how could you be worried about money? And I would laugh, and he would laugh, and going, well, yeah, we do. We're always talking about money, money, money. and you know, you can't do that in a developing country. They look at you like you're out of your mind. We need to put life into perspective. Nish Casella,
sure.
You know, you think you have a problem because your girlfriend broke up, your boyfriend broke up, your car broke down, whatever that problem was when you were younger. I would cry and go to my mother. She would say, well, your aunt has cancer, and that's a real problem. What you have is a baby problem. And if you could fix it with money and with time, ain't broke, right?
Yeah.
Our country ain't broke because we could fix it with money. But more importantly, we could fix it with our compassion towards each other and
volunteering. That love each other and kindness, absolutely. You know, I mean, what you said. You know, I'm a world traveler. I've been to the third world. I'm actually part of some of it. You know, the Lebanese part. But you know what? The fact is, our focus is in our, you know, unfortunately, some of us not put in the right place. You know, I think, you know, when you look at some other places in the world, when you look at other places, I know we don't want to worry about the rest of the world. We just want to worry about our own world. But I think if we try to reflect and look at other places, it gives us a different perspective. And that's what I'm talking about. It's not that we care, you know, and we really should, actually, because even when we don't think what happens to somewhere else in the world doesn't affect us, it does affect us one way or another. But one thing that I've noticed, you know, this is my second time visiting in the past couple of years, Spain. Spain's economy is terrible. You know, if you look at their economic, you know, it doesn't even exist. I mean, they probably on the verge of bankruptcy, like Greece. I don't even agree. In Greece, they went out of their bankruptcy right now. But the point, what I'm just saying, when I was out and about, like people, the lifestyle is so much better there because they're not worrying about these things that we worry about. Like, we buy everything with money here. You know what I mean? Over there, you see people are more calm, more relaxed. You know, they're really enjoying life and they're not complaining. And I just like, how do they do that? Like, how do the people just sitting around the cafes and enjoying a cup of coffee and smiling at each other and greeting each other and having a fiesta every night? You know, their dinner doesn't start at 8 o'clock and people are out. And when I was in Madrid, you know, just when I was in Spain just recently, I am telling you, I was blown away. I was literally blown away that people, it's Madrid, it's like New York, right? It's a big city. And I was staying in the heart of Madrid. I did not see chaos. I did not see any problem, none so ever, when I was there. And it was so many people enjoying life and doing these things. And I'm not saying this now because I wanted to compare us to someone else. But what I'm just saying here, it is okay for us to feel a certain way. I think it is okay for us to recognize how we feel. And recognize those feelings are nothing but love. Love for something, right? So we feeling the same, the way we feeling. Like I'm, you know, like you said, you're still feeling on the edge. You're still feeling, you know, I was numb yesterday. I was completely, I guess you know, my husband said, how do you feel if you're numb? I said, I don't know. I was just like, I can't put a finger on how I'm feeling, right? And I meditated and I was trying to really do everything that I can in a healthy way to deal with those feelings. But
so
I think
when
we recognize, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a period of shock and grief. But in my lifetime, I've gone through shock and grief. But I want to say just two things. One is, I live in Baltimore, and I look out my living room, big door, and the Juliet balcony up here on the 18th floor, and I'm looking out onto the street, and I see people walking, not many, it's not New York, so there aren't a lot of people on the street, but I see cars, you know, driving, and I'm wondering, life is going on, people are going on with life, did not stop, and all over this country, if all our thoughts go to ourselves, yes, it is a blow. But if you start thinking, how can I help someone else? All of a sudden, that shock and pain goes away. It's magic. And another example, and I wish some of your listeners would call in so we can have a conversation. I'd like to hear their experiences, but in 1983, I broke up a 4.5-year relationship, and I lived with this woman in Colorado, and I moved to Southern California. And I've suffered my entire adult life since I was 18 years old with Black Depression. And those who are listening, when I say Black Depression, if you never experienced that kind of depression, you can't possibly know. And I went and I said, well, what am I going to do to get out of this, help someone else? Where can I go? I can volunteer. Where can I volunteer? Why don't I volunteer at a suicide hotline, because I'm very close to that myself, and I could be with people that are caring, because I needed that kind of caring. So I went into this center in Southern California, and I spoke with the director, and we were talking, and I was telling her about my depression and how, you know, it was so difficult to even do anything because and the Black Depression just took over my life. And so she asked me, so may I ask you about your faith? You know, are you Jewish? And I said, well, yeah, I happen to be Jewish. She goes, well, do you go to synagogue? And he says, no, you know, I don't go to synagogue and all those rituals. And though I'm deeply proud of being Jewish and my culture and heritage and repairing the world and our contributions, you know, all that religion, so I don't go to synagogue. And she said, well, why are you throwing the baby out with the bathwater? And I looked at her and I said, what? That's insane. Why would you throw the baby out with the bathwater? And she looked back and she said, isn't that what you're doing? Because you don't like something part of the ritual. You're denying yourself the parts that you do like. And I went, oh, no, that was scary, because it just revealed a whole new chapter of how, at 31 years of age, my life took a major turn to how I was to think moving forward. Then she said to me, I'd like to have you volunteer on the hotline. And I said, no, how could I? I mean, I'm a suicidal myself practically, and I'm so depressed. How could I possibly help anyone? And she said, well, it's exactly you. Who better than you, David, she said, that will understand people when they call in? And I said, look, I haven't even gone through your training. And she goes, David, the little that we spoke, you don't need training. Here's a book of emergency telephone numbers. And if you need to give them a number for more help, then you'll give them that number. But I have confidence in you. I believe in you, even though you don't believe you could do this. So sitting at home on the July 4th weekend, my heart in my mouth thinking, please don't let the phone ring. The phone rang, and it was this man. And he said to me, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. This is what happened, and I'm so distraught, and I'm going to kill myself, and I have a gun next to me, and my life has ended. And I thought, well, what can I do? What do I know? And I just said instinctively of how I would feel, and I knew that he wasn't saying anything more than, I'm crying for help, listen to me, how do I get out of this, I'm drowning. That's what I just did a few days ago when I went to that center and spoke to the director. So I said, look, I'm not going to be held as a hostage, and I'm not going to sit here and listen to you while you have a gun. I'm not going to listen to that gun go off and you kill yourself. So I'll be here and stay on the phone with you all day, all night, the next day, the next night, however long it takes. But you need to put the gun away. And then I remained quiet. And what seemed like a lifetime was probably less than 2 minutes. I thought it was like 5 minutes or more. There was dead silence. I went, oh, my God, did I say the wrong thing? And what do I do? And I said, just stay quiet, just stay quiet. And all of a sudden I heard footsteps and a door closed. And I went, oh, I was so afraid. And then after a couple of seconds, I heard the door open and footprints back, and the phone was picked up. And the man said, I just put the phone away. I just put the gun away. Can we talk now? And I said, yes, now we can talk. And so that same day, at 2 in the morning, the phone rings, and it's an elderly woman. And she goes, oh, I'm so ashamed, and I don't have a crisis, but I am so lonely, and my kids moved, and I'm all by myself, and I'm always by myself. And so I thought, well, there's going to be someone at the hotline. I could talk to them, and, oh, I don't want to bother you. And I said, no, you're not. It was like my mother calling. I said, no, you're not bothering. Let's talk. And I don't know what we talked about, but at the end of that talk, I listened to her. I was able to relate to her. And those experiences, and I was going through a lot deeper pain than I did over this election, and this election threw me on my head. And by reaching out and not thinking of myself and thinking of others, my pain went away. And I was able to feel a lot better. And wait a second, you know, life is better when you give and you can make a difference. You could change the world for people. And that's how I lived my life the rest of the days up until this point, talking to you on your radio show.
You know, it's a lot of great stuff you share. We're going to take a short break and we're going to wrap it up. And I think, you know, it is time for us to really learn how to take the path of least resistance and move forward. And recognize that we all, if we strip everything down, we all are alike. And I really believe, I think, I love what, I don't know if you listened to the concession speech yesterday, Hillary Clinton.
I did, yes, I did.
She said, never stop, my coach. She said, never stop believing that fighting for what is right is worth it. If we stand together and work with respect for our differences and respect our differences and love for this nation, our best days are still ahead of us. So let's take a short break and we will come back and wrap this up. Thank you.
Your Life Now radio show with Coach Rhea will return in just a few moments.
Welcome back, my friends. You are listening to Your Life Now show. I am your host and executive producer, Rhea Wolke, also known as Coach Rhea. So welcome and thank you for being here. This has been an interesting election. It's been an interesting result, and it's been interesting emotions and feelings that we have, and including myself. And today is the second day of the post of the result of the election 2016 here in the United States. And as we expected, social media was blowing up, and a lot of my friends were posting all kind of things to express how they were feeling about the result. There were a lot of anger, there were a lot of emotions, and there were a lot of good positive, you know, attitude also in response to the 2016 election. And hopefully, you know, today's show with my dear friend, Dr. David Kenneth Wildman, the founder and CEO of To Love Children organization, and Rebecca House International Publishing Company. He has been recognized as a creative problem solver and a manager, expert in public policy, gender justice, and educational development for girls in the developing world. And I'm honored to be a board member of To Love Children organization. And David, welcome back. I know we took a little short break, but this has been a really a very enlightening conversation, and I do appreciate the stories that you shared with us. But going forward, I mean, dealing with all these emotions and dealing with all these resistance that we have toward the elect president, what do you think what are some of the things that you think we can do without losing our values and what we stand for? What's some of the things that you suggest?
Well, each person already knows what they can do, whether it's going down to their church and volunteering or feeding the homeless or working in a soup kitchen or volunteering on a sports team or reading to the elderly and talking to the elderly, going to homes where elderly live in senior homes, nursing homes. I mean, everybody already knows what their gift, their passion, what they want to do to make a difference. But instead, I would just like to open up to see this through a different lens. And talking about silver lining, and the first silver lining is that the country has now we have the attention of a lot of people in this country, and that's a good, positive thing. And people spontaneously went out in 9 different plus cities and started protesting. Now, if they went out instead of protesting, and which is legitimate and it's important, and that needed to come out, you can't bottle that up. But then once you do that, then you need to go out and make a difference. So I'd like to put out a call to action, if I may, to your listeners. So I heard this, I guess, last night. The days and evenings are blending into each other. And one of these, it was a young man who I've listened to over the last year or two, and he's called on, he sits on these new shows, and he gives his point of view, and I forget whether he's with the Huffington Post or whatever he works for. And he said, here's the silver lining. So I am plagiarizing his concept, and he
sharing
said,
it.
"What sharing what he said to a wider audience?" And he said something that was so profound yet so simple. He said, "This is a unique time and a call to artists, authors, musicians, filmmakers, to help us understand, interpret what is going on in America, what the problems are, to give us through the arts, through literature, through film, through dance, an interpretation so that we could process this." And we've always done that. Charles Dickens has done that about London in the 1800s, about the poverty in the books that he wrote. John Steinbeck in The Grapes of Wrath talked about the Dust Bowl in the 30s. Picasso, when the Nazis helped with the Spanish Revolution in the 30s, and they totally destroyed Guernica and killed so many people, men, women, children, and Picasso's very famous painting titled Guernica. And our artists, our musicians, gives us a voice so that we stay positive, that we can express and not dwell on, oh, woe is me, but here's a way that I can express. And I have some talent, and I write children's books, and so I'm able to express in one way. Each and every person has their own talent, regardless of whether they think they do or not, in some area. It might be cooking. It might be just being the best hugger ever in the history of hugging. Whatever that is a major contribution. And I'd like to see a renaissance, an American renaissance of art and literature, so that we can not scholarly journals and articles and dissertations, but art and music and for people to write about this, so that we can help tell this story, understand it, and have it part of our history, to go full circle of how I started this interview, and just move on to the next chapter.
That's, it is the beginning of a new chapter for our country, and I think we need, you know, if we can find a way to contribute into this chapter of of our country and whatever small, whatever things that, whatever, like anything that you mentioned, it's truly, you know, it's very simple, right? So find what you think you can do. Find what you can do for yourself first, because I think, you know, but I really found it for many years for myself, it's through giving, through sharing. I mean, this show, this really having a voice, have helped me also in my career, in my personal life, in my inspiring, you know, inspiring myself to move forward as well through, like yourself and other guests that come in and contribute into about positive message and sharing great information with us here on the air. So I really do appreciate you, Dr. David Kenneth Wildman, and I appreciate all the work that you do, all the effort. David has continued to do and make a difference in the life of a lot of the girl child in the world, and his work is amazing through his books, his children books, through his teaching, through his outspeak to the UN, the United Nations, and I've seen him in action, you know, attending the girl and women in science. That's what it was, right? Not too long ago.
International Day of Women and Girls in Science.
Oh, it was incredible. It was the first one, and I was to be part of it and to hear you, you know, speaking and contribute into that as well. It's a really an honor, and I do really appreciate you. But my friends, now more than ever, we need to stay strong. And we need to hold our heads up high and move forward. We need to deal with our emotion the way we find the best way to deal with it in a positive, harmonious way, right?
Can I just add one very quick thing? Do we have just a few seconds?
Sure.
If you want to get a real perspective on life, go to someone who's 80 years old or older and ask them what trouble means. And they'll look at you like you're out of your mind, and they'll say, this isn't trouble. As you get older, things don't seem the same, and you focus on what's important, and family and friends and what you can do, and putting life into perspective. If you want to get wisdom, there's no better wisdom than calling up your grandma or grandpa.
Yeah, I truly believe you, because my grandma, you know, my grandma died not too, you know, I mean, a few years back, but I remember she was the person I used to go to. She was my best friend because the wisdom that she shared with me, the ease that she put me on, because, you know, I mean, I've gone through a lot of adversity myself, like we all do, right, at one point or another in our life, but it's what we do going forward that really counts. So, you know, take it easy on yourself, you know, speaking to you guys who are listening to this show. I really do appreciate you. It's a shame that none of you guys hit one to dial in. I see you there. So I do appreciate you are there and listening. And I do also, you know, encourage you to share the show and listen to what Dr. David Kenneth Wildman has to say, you know, about adversity and how we can deal with it and how we can contribute. You know, I mean, the time is coming right now. There's no better time right now here in the U.S. The Thanksgiving is coming. I mean, you know, I don't think we need an excuse to be thankful, but you have something to look forward to in your next gathering. You know, whether you are with one person or a big, huge family and friends, celebrating Thanksgiving, remember to count your blessing. Remember to count your blessing. I cannot, you know, emphasize this more than ever, because I think the more we are grateful for what it is and what we have and what we can, you know, achieve, the more we have to be grateful for. The more you go out there and encourage someone else to do the same, the more we actually become more closer to each other, and we find something that we can all share, and our differences start to dissolve, because our differences are there to make us stronger too. Because you know what, if we all the same, it becomes boring, right, Dr. David Kenneth Wildman?
Absolutely.
So, you know,
the variety is the price of life.
Yeah, absolutely. So don't get too mad and don't get too upset. And you know what, we tend to, unfortunately, I'm not a big supporter of that. We tend to fight everything. And I remember, you know, this is still in my mind, when Mother Teresa, when they invite her to anti-war rally, she said, I would not attend. She said, next time you have a peace rally, I'll be there. So instead of fighting everything, find the least resisting, you know, path, and start, you know, accepting things, not accepting things are like, you know, getting rid of your values and your beliefs, but, you know, find a way to deal with them in a more effective way that is going to make you move forward and is going to make somebody else's life make, you know, move forward. So help someone else. Reach out to the next door neighbor. I actually wanted to tell the story quickly. I don't know if I mentioned it before on the air before I go. I know I love storytelling, and you mentioned one. But this one was really cool because you talked about, like, you know, the elderly and being so full of wisdom, and you want to talk about, you know, feeling good. So I remember walking my dog one day, and that was a while ago, and one of my neighbor who I don't know because she lives like in one of the other, you know, neighborhood streets and stuff like that, she was walking and she happened to be sitting right on the edge of my front of my house. It is a little ledge. And she was sitting there, but she looked like she was sleeping. She like I was concerned as someone who is concerned. You know, some people would just like go on their own business and they don't mind. I mean, she didn't look like she was in trouble or anything, but I was concerned. So I walked toward her and I looked at her and I said, "Are you okay?" And she opened her eyes and she actually, I guess the sun was on her. She was feeling good and she was relaxed and she's sitting down enjoying herself. So I started her. She's like, she woke up and I was really like, I was speaking really, really softly too. And I know I could be very loud. So I was talking to her very softly. "Are you okay?" And she lifted her up and she looked at me. She said, like this, and she held her hand, you know, on her chest, and she looked at me, and she was just smiling. She gave me this big, huge smile, and she said, oh, somebody cares, I swear to God. And I said, yeah, you know, I'm sure somebody cares, you know. So, of course, to make long story short, I start talking to her. "Are you okay? Did you need help? Do you want me to walk you?" You know, she was like in her 80s. She is my best friend now. She actually, you know, I went out to lunch with her a few times. She calls me. I'm like, she said, "I tell all my friends I have this woman who loves me, who cares about me. I was just someone who was just walking by. And I just had, you know, started a conversation with her." The things that she shared with me, it was so inspiring. I felt so good. You have no idea how good she made me feel. But she actually said, I made her feel good. So in a nutshell, the story, to the point here, go out there and make somebody else feel good just by, you know, maybe giving them a hug, or just, you know, if they don't want to be hugged, just maybe just saying something nice to them. And I always say, if we can kindly approach someone with something positive to say, it makes them feel good. I know it makes me feel good. So when somebody tells me, "Oh, you look great," or, you know, without like being so superficial about it, it makes me feel good. So I can imagine if you do the same thing to someone else, how you're going to make them feel. What do you think?
I agree. And one tiny little piece of advice that I will use to help, and I do use to help me feel better, is besides chocolate, what I do is I listen to music. The Beatles is number one to help me put me into a relaxed mood and to feel good about myself. And I also take time to watch my favorite TV show one after another and on my DVDs, and that happens to be Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So, and finally, what really helps just to relax and to see life on a whole real level and to be able to move on, pick up a Winnie the Pooh book. You'll then get a real good perspective how good life can be.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, find your joy and do it. Find whatever brings joy into your life and go ahead and do it. As long as you're not hurting someone else, as long as you're not, you know, breaking any rules or whatever, you know, to put yourself in trouble. Do things, you know, be conscious of your action. Be conscious of what you say and what you do. But don't lose yourself in the process. I think that's really important. I think I stand for that very, very strong. I'm a very strong minded woman who is a free thinker. And I believe that, you know, I refuse to be influenced by anybody who is not positive or, you know, who is going to be helping me and, you know, whether for myself and for everybody else, you know, to us moving forward. So be positive influence, do your part, and it's okay to feel the way that you're feeling right now. acknowledge those feelings, but don't ignore them because they are love. It is something that, you know, find out why, what is so important to you that you're feeling that way. And go out there and volunteer, or like Dr. David Kenneth Woodman said, or do something like that is so small, does not require so much effort, and just so you can feel better. So, Dr. David Kenneth Woodman, I want to thank you so much for joining me. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you for having me.
And the time goes fast, you know, really fast. So in closing, you know, I want to remind you guys, you know, go out there and celebrate who you are. And remember, when we collaborate, when we work together, we are stronger. I do agree with Hillary Clinton that together we are strong. So make sure that you, whatever you do, remember the we. We are stronger than I. You know, we can go out there and do a lot of things on our own, but when we are, you know, together with like-minded people, not creating, like, you know, I'm not a big, you know, to try to make something like, you know, create an organization or something that, you know, to be anti-something. We're not anti-anybody, and I don't want you to be anti-anybody, but what I want you to do is to work together to make not only your world better, but the world around you. And until next time, my friends, I hope next time I was speaking with you, the air will be a little bit clearer and people will start to feel, because you know what? Time does heal, even though time to me is an illusion. And I think we really need to stop pretending, you know, live our life in a pretend world and really start living in a real world that we make of our own. And that will be it for tonight. That's it. Anyone more? One more word?
I think it's up to everyone to speak that word, don't you?
I agree. It's up to, exactly. Exactly. And that's really true. So I'm going to leave you with a little, you know, if you wanted to learn more about what you can do to also help with To Love Children organization. I'm going to leave you with the ad that I done for the To Love the Children. So I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you, Dr. David Kenneth, and we'll talk later, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
Dr. David Kenneth Woodman founded To Love Children. When I met Dr. David Kenneth Woodman in my office, when I was the minister in charge of gender, and he came to sell me this idea, his vision of the girl child education, I embraced it because I thought this is the way we would be able to empower our young girls.
Please go to tolovechildren.org and donate. Thank you for helping me to take my passion and turn it into action.
Just one more thing. It takes collaborations, mutual agreement, and action to make the impossible possible. So go out there and celebrate who you are and join hands and make the impossible possible. Be present. Look for insights. Take action. Take small steps. Evaluate what you are doing. And remember where you are so you know where you are heading. Stay amazing. Much love to all. Thank you.